Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
Take your Bibles and open them for our Bible study to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, and we'll be in verse 17. That song is exactly what I'm going to try to say today. So we could just have prayer and go home. I'm going to take that as an amen for the truth of the song, not for the going home part. But anyway, we really, honestly, what a treasure. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Well, we have all kinds of people here at North Central, and all people are welcome here. Every race, every skin color, we come from different economic backgrounds. We live in different neighborhoods. Some are single, some are married, some have been married for a long time, some just got married. Some have kids, and some don't have kids. Now, many here today, many watching us online are believers in Christ, but not all. But we're all here today because we all need the gospel. The gospel has the power to put broken lives back together, and it helps us make sense of the things in life that we don't understand. Now, North Central is to take Jesus, is to take the gospel of Jesus and make disciples who will in turn make other disciples. Because of that, our people get together in small groups and one-on-one on Sundays and other days of the week to intentionally make disciples. North Central is to take the gospel to all people as Jesus commanded his church. Jesus is powerful. The gospel is powerful. Jesus is, say it with me, wonderful. Klaus Meine, the musician, wrote these words in the song, Does Anyone Know? Is this world out of control? Say what is right and what is wrong. Do I know this world at all? I think I do, but then I don't. I'm confused by what I see. I try to understand, but it makes no sense at all. I'm confused by what I feel. I thought our love was something that is real. Does anyone know the truth we're looking for? Can't find it anymore. Does anyone know how to make me feel for something that is real? If I've ever thought there was a time in the world that we needed to know what truth was and what something that is real that we can hold on to, it's right now. Now, we are studying the patriarchs of the faith in Hebrews chapter 11. We have talked a little bit about Abraham. We're going to finish up with Abraham today, and then we're going to move to some other patriarchs, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph, and we're just going to look at six verses of Scripture. But we're going to look at the subject today, looking unto Jesus, holding to the promises. Holding to the promises of God. This is Hebrews chapter 11, verses 17 through 22. Hebrews 11, 17. I'll read it from my copy of God's Word if you'll follow along in your copy. It says, By faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises, offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, In Isaac your seed shall be called, concluding that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. Verse 20, By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. Verse 21, By faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning on the top of his staff. Verse 22, By faith Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel and gave instructions concerning his bones. There's just two things that I want to say about these amazing verses that talk about holding on to the promises of God. We're only looking at six verses of Scripture, but we know that the just shall live by faith. If we're going to please the Lord, we must have faith. And today, in those six verses of Scripture, we study Genesis 12 to Genesis 50. So now, we're not going to study all those chapters of the Bible, although the stories related to these people that are in this text today in Hebrews are all talked about in Genesis chapter 12 to Genesis chapter 50. Now remember that the book of Hebrews was written to Jews. The main message is this: salvation is by faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, the Scripture says. Now the Jews had come to the conclusion that salvation was earned. We know that the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, it is by grace that we are saved. The word grace, one definition is unmerited favor. It is by grace that we are saved through faith, and that is not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, not of our own merit, lest anyone should boast. And yet, the Pharisees of the time that the Bible was written, the book of Hebrews was written, there was a system that had been created where you pleased God by the works that you performed. Now, the question is, do we die in unfulfilled despair like the writer of that song wrote about, or do we see ourselves carrying on the promise? Because the truth is, all four of these, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph, are you ready for this? God made them promises they never saw. God made them promises they never realized physically, and they saw it. And yet they all died in faith, the Scripture tells us. They died to the very end knowing the promises of God were true and the promises of God were real. Now we know that without faith, it is impossible to please God. In verse 6 of our chapter, actually, it says that. So we're going to look at two main points here about holding on to the promises of God, all right? So here's the first one. Number one, holding on during the hardest tests. Holding on during the hardest tests. Look at our text in chapter 11, verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested. Now, the ultimate test, are you ready for this? The ultimate test is obedience with sacrifice involved in it. That's the ultimate test. That is the deepest and the hardest test of our faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And it says there in the passage, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received, that word receive, the promises, the word receives means to assume. Or undertake. He had received that promise from God, and he had made it his own. And so he knew that God was going to bless him, and God was going to fulfill his promise, and yet he was not seeing it. Now, we're gonna look at some passages in Genesis. So what I want you to do is take your what do you call this thing? Your ribbon. Take this ribbon and hold it in Hebrews 11 and go back to Genesis chapter 22. I want you to go to Genesis chapter 22, and I've got multiple ribbons, so I've got a little advantage here. I've put it already in there. I got a ribbon in Genesis 22. I want to read this passage of Scripture. Look at Genesis 22:1. Now, it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. Then he said, take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son. He took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. And he said, look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? They were very familiar with burnt sacrifice. And Abraham said, my son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. So the two of them went together. Verse 9, then they came to the place of which God had told him, and Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order. And he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and he took the knife to slay his son. Praise God. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. So he said, here I am. Notice every time the Lord spoke, here I am. Verse 12, and he said, do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And you can read on later how the Lord provided the lamb in the thicket. Now go back to chapter 11 of Hebrews. So Abraham was going to offer his only son. Holding on to the promises. Holding on during the hardest tests. I can't imagine what Abraham was thinking. And yet, he had a promise. He had a promise that through Isaac, this one that God was saying to sacrifice, he had a promise that through this one Isaac, that he would build a great nation, that the descendants would be as the stars of the sky. You know, Isaac, in verse 17, it says, he offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promise offered up his only begotten son. Does that ring a bell? His only begotten son. Same word used to describe the Lord Jesus Christ in John chapter 3, verse 16. Only begotten is unique. That's what that word means. Offer up his only son. There's only one like him, his only unique son. He was the one that was going to be the heir of all the promises. Now, here's the other thing about this. Holding on during the hardest tests. I don't know what tests you're going through, but I know one thing. You're either just come out of a test, you're in a test, or you're headed towards a test. It's kind of like difficulty we face. We've either just come out of it, we're in it, or we're headed towards difficulty. Life is full of difficulty. And can I say this to you? Life is full of difficulty even for those who love Jesus. If you ever hear anyone say to you that if you give your life to Jesus, you won't have any problems, that's when you turn around and walk out. Because that's not the gospel. That's not what happens, and that's not what the Bible teaches. The Lord gives us grace in the midst of difficulty that's supernatural, that is a blessing and powerful, and we have the promises. Well, Abraham was offering up his only begotten son, but here's the thing. Abraham was confident of God's promise. In verse 19, the scripture says, concluding, you ready for this? That God was able to raise him up, even from the dead. So Abraham, the Lord said, I want you to offer up Isaac. And Abraham knew that if he did somehow offer him up, that God would raise him from the dead. Why? Because God had given him a promise that he could hold on to, that through Isaac, this blessing would go for generations to generations. And so Abraham had concluded that God was going to keep his promise. God was able to raise him up. Now, we read in Genesis chapter 22, those passages there about this account. Did you catch Genesis 22:5, where Abraham said to his young men, he said, "Stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder." By the way, I love that word, yonder. "The lad and I will go yonder and worship." And then he said, "And we will come back to you." So here was Abraham fulfilling and obeying the Lord in the hardest times, the most difficult times, and yet he had the faith to understand and believe that me and that himself and Isaac would return from that mountain. He told those servants that. And you remember in Genesis chapter 15, verse 6, Abraham, it says, "And he believed in the Lord, and it was accounted to him for righteousness." Our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, God uses that. As we put our faith and trust in him, God declares us righteous. And he knew that Isaac was the one that the blessing was going to come through. Now, there's all kinds of detail in the story that you can go back and study, but you remember that Sarah got impatient, and so she offered Hagar, her servant, and there was another son born. And yet, in Genesis chapter 21, verse 12, God said to Abraham, "Whatever Sarah has said to you, you listen to her voice, for in Isaac your seed shall be called." Later on, the Lord, after she had done all that she did with Hagar and they had another son that way, the Lord had spoken to Sarah and said, "No, you're going to be the one who is going to bear Isaac." And so in Genesis 21, the Lord said to Abraham and confirmed to Abraham, "No, it's going to be your offspring through Sarah, and his name will be Isaac." And so God's promise was fulfilled in Isaac, not in another of Abraham's son. The words "through Isaac" are placed in the emphatic position in that spot. So here was Abraham dealing with the hardest test of all, holding on to the promises. Our truth for this, for us, is that in the difficult, most difficult times, the most difficult days, the Lord can give us the grace to hold on to his promises. We sing these great songs and choruses and hymns of the faith, and we sang "Because He Lives Today." What a great, great song. One of the songs we love to sing is that song that Horatio Spafford wrote, "It Is Well." You know the story. Horatio Spafford lived in 1828 to 1888, he was there when the Chicago fire happened in 1871, and it was a devastating fire that took place, and his business was in a shamble, and so he decided he wanted to send his wife and his children over to England, and he was going to go with them, and yet there was a business deal he couldn't get out of, and so he sent his wife and children on that ship, and in 1873, that ship collided with another ship, and in 12 minutes, the Villa de Havre went down, and they grabbed the survivors, all that they could. They took them to England, and a note came, a telegram, communication came from England, and his wife said, "Saved alone." And so Horatio Spafford lost his children in that terrible incident. The story is told that he left to go be with his wife, and he wrote these words. He wrote these words: "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul." And then he said, "Though Satan should buffet, though trial should come, let this blessed assurance control that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and has shed his own blood for my soul." And then he was reminded of his own sin. He said, "My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought." He couldn't even finish the thought. He had to put a little parenthesis. He said, oh, the bliss of this thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, was nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. But then, and I love when we sing this, I like it sometimes, Robert, when we sing three verses and then we do a little key change. Oh, man. And you just lift it a notch. And then you sing, oh, Lord, haste the day when my faith shall be sight. You see, ladies and gentlemen, these heroes of the faith are just like you and I. Have you seen heaven yet? Have you seen it yet? Now, I know this. My pastor used to say that trust the Lord Jesus and ask the Lord to give you a Christian home. And he said, your home can be a little corner of heaven on earth. Man, I love that. I praise God for that. But the reality of heaven we haven't seen. But he says, oh Lord, Horatio Spafford, oh Lord, haste the day when my faith shall be sight. The clouds be rolled back as a scroll. The trumpet shall resound and the Lord shall descend. Even so it is well with my soul. Folks, we don't realize it sometimes, but these patriarchs, they didn't see the reality of the promises that God had given them. And so, are you talking about encouragement to know that Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, all of the promises that God had given to them, they never really experienced it. And yet, what did they do? By faith, they trusted in the Lord all the way until the end. And so, in the deepest and hardest test, we see Abraham do that. Now, here's the second thing. The second thing is this: holding on to the promises, holding on until the very end. Holding on until the very end. Now, these three other descendants, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph, basically, their testimony here, well, let's look at it. In Hebrews chapter 11, and I want you to look at verse 20. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. Everything in here is futuristic. In verse 21, by faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning on the top of his staff. And then verse 22, by faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel and gave instructions concerning his bones. In each of those cases, these guys, they did something that we've got to ask the Lord to give grace and help us do, and that is they held by faith to the promises of God until the end. And we can do that in the grace of God, because the Lord Jesus Christ has saved us and changed our life. And all the way until the end, they held on by faith. Remember, none of these guys received the promises. Not the land, not the numbers of descendants as the sands, not the blessings. These guys had to endure. Notice that they pass on the promise by faith in the face of death. The promise was of an earthly kingdom, of land, of blessing, and they died in faith, although the promises had not yet been fulfilled. Now, these men were not perfect men. This gives me great encouragement. I think about Isaac. Matter of fact, let's just look at Isaac. In chapter 11, verse 20, it says, by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning the things to come. All right? In Genesis chapters 27, we have this story. He blessed his two sons in terms that looked into the distant future. And later he specifically blessed Jacob with full knowledge of what he was doing. In Genesis chapter 28, verses 1 through 4, here's what it says. This is Genesis 28, 1. Says, then Isaac called Jacob and blessed him, and he charged him And he said to him, you shall not take a wife from the daughters of Canaan. Arise, go to Padan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, your mother's father, and take yourself a wife from there of the daughters of Laban, your mother's brother. May God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful and multiply you, that you may be an assembly of peoples. Verse 4 says this, and give you the blessings of Abraham to you and your descendants with you, that you may inherit the land in which you are a stranger, which God gave to Abraham. God's purposes could not possibly fail. That was Isaac's message as he was blessing his descendants. And so he gave that blessing. He gave that blessing to Jacob. And he said to him, and give you the blessings of Abraham. Basically, he was saying this, God's purposes could not possibly fail. Now, Isaac was not perfect. Matter of fact, if you want to study this, you can go back to Genesis chapter 26. In Genesis chapter 26, there was a famine there. And Isaac went down to Gerar, and all of a sudden, he says to Rebekah, he says, look, I don't want to say that I'm your husband. They may kill me because you're so beautiful. And so here he was, here is Isaac, and he says, I don't want to tell them that Rebekah's my wife. And so he lies about it. And let's go to that passage. Go to Genesis chapter 26. Let me get that. Genesis 26. Just flip over there from where we were in Genesis 22. In Genesis 26, Genesis 26:3. Dwell in this land, and I will be with you and bless you for you and your descendants. I will give all these lands, and I will perform an oath which I swore to Abraham your father, and I will make your descendants multiply as the stars of heaven. I will give to your descendants all these lands, and your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. Because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my law. So Isaac dwelt in Gerar, and the men of the place asked about his wife. And he said, she is my sister. For he was afraid to say, she is my wife, because he thought, lest the men of the place kill me for Rebekah, because she is beautiful to behold. Now it came to pass when he had been there a long time that Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked through a window and saw, and there was Isaac showing endearment or caressing to Rebekah, his wife. Well, you didn't caress your sister that way. Okay? The old King James Bible says that he was sporting with her. I don't know what all that means. Well, I kind of do, but anyway. So anyway, the bottom line is, and Abimelech, verse 9, called Isaac and said, quite obviously she is your wife, so how could you say she is my sister? Isaac said to him, because I said, lest I die on account of her. And Abimelech said, what is this you have done to us? One of the people might soon have lain with your wife, and you would have brought guilt on this. So Abimelech charged all of his people, saying, he who touches this man or his wife shall surely be put to death. And so here he was lying. Isaac was lying. Now, he had an example, didn't he? Amen. Abraham. Abraham did the same thing twice with Sarah. So it was modeled for Isaac. And so all of a sudden we realize that Isaac was not a perfect person. Isaac was not, he had so many faults. That encourages me. It should encourage you. It should encourage us that even with our faults, that God can use us to hold on to the promises. In Genesis chapter 26, at the end of that chapter, it says, then he went up from there to Beersheba, and the Lord appeared to him the same night and said, I am the God of your father Abraham. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bless you and multiply your descendants for my servant Abraham's sake. So in spite of his mistakes, the Lord gave him that promise, and he held on. So then we have not only Isaac, but then we have Jacob. In verse 21 of our text in Hebrews 11, it says, by faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning on the top of his staff. Now we find this in Genesis chapter 28. We have the story of Jacob's ladder, and the Lord gave him that promise. And in verse 13 of that passage, it says this, and behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham your father and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie I will give to you and your descendants. Also your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. And in you and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid, and he said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. Verse 18, then Jacob rose early in the morning and took the stone that he had put at his head and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it, and he called the name of that place Bethel. But the name of that city had been Luz previously. So he named it Bethel. And then if you go all the way into Genesis chapter 48, he blesses his children. And in Genesis 48, 21, he comes to the end of his life, to the very end. In Genesis 48, 21, he says this, then Israel said to Joseph, behold, I am dying, but God will be with you and bring you back to the land of your fathers. So the writer of Hebrews is giving us all these examples. Well, the last one is Joseph. We see this in our final verse today in Hebrews 11, 22. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying... These guys lived their whole life without seeing the results and the total fulfillment of these promises. God was with them. They were not perfect men, but God was with them. And they came to the end of their life and they realized, my faith is in the promise of God. And church family, we can take their example and we can know. You know, the hope of heaven, we know the Lord is giving us heaven. Jesus said, don't be discouraged. He said, I am going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Let not your heart be troubled, he said. In my Father's house are many mansions. And so we have that promise, but we hadn't seen it yet. So all the way till the end, we can keep our faith and trust in the Lord. And he's saying this to these Hebrews because they had lived under a system that was a works-oriented system. And now the gospel was being preached that you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and him alone, and they didn't understand that. And so he was saying to them, let me tell you that even in the Old Testament, salvation was by faith. Even in the Old Testament, the patriarchs put their trust in the Lord by faith. So Joseph's faith, like that of the others, looked beyond death, though his words referred to nothing more than his burial arrangements. Now, I want you to do this. I want you to take your Bible and go back to Genesis, and I want you to go to the 50th chapter, okay? I don't have that one marked, so I've got to dig around here too a little bit. Genesis chapter 50. And I want us to look in Genesis 50 and verse 22. If you notice, this is the very last chapter of the book of Genesis. In Genesis 50, verse 22 and following, it says this, so Joseph dwelt in Egypt. You remember the story. We don't have time to go into all the story, but he was sold into slavery. The Lord blessed him. He went through all kinds of ups and downs, all kinds of difficulty that he faced. So Joseph dwelt in Egypt, he and his father's household, and Joseph lived 110 years. Joseph saw Ephraim's children to the third generation. The children of Machir, the son of Manasseh, were also brought up on Joseph's knees. Verse 24, and Joseph said to his brethren, I am dying, but God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land to the land of which he swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. There he is mentioning these others. Then Joseph took an oath from the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from here. So Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. So here we have Joseph, who at the end of his life, what did he do? He kept his commitment and his faith in the Lord, and he passed it on to others. The Christian life is the passing of a baton. It's like a relay race, and from one generation to the other, until the Lord returns and we see heaven, like Horatio Spafford wrote about, O Lord, haste the day when my faith shall be sight, when I can see all of the promises fulfilled. Now, we have promises in this life to help us through the difficulties that we face and the blessings and the assurance that we know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. But the bottom line is when you hold on to the promises, it gives you the strength to hold on during the hardest tests. That's Abraham. And then you hold on until the very end. That's Isaac. That's Jacob. That's Joseph. I've told you about when I was in seminary, Dr. David Garland, he always told that story about the man that died in his church and how that he went to the bedside. You know, one of the things when you're a believer in Christ, and you've had this in your own personal experience, you've been around people that have gone to heaven, and you see their faith. I don't know what it's like to get to that very point where you're on the threshold of your it's almost like you've got one foot in this earthly life and one foot in glory. You're about to be taken to heaven. You're about to be absent from the body to be present with the Lord. But Dr. Garland said that deacon in his church, he was very close to, he gathered up all his strength. He was on his deathbed. He gathered up all his strength, and he just winked at him. And he said, Dr. Garland told us students, he said, that was that deacon's way of telling me, Pastor, I'm okay. And I pray that as God gives me one day grace in that moment, that I'll know the Lord, I'm in the Lord's hands and I'm okay. I'll have that kind of grace. I don't have that grace now. That's dying grace. But these all died in faith. And you see these that endured to the end. God is faithful. We can hold on to the promises that will help us in the very hardest trials and hardest tests. I don't know what all you're going through. I know what I'm going through. I don't know what all you're going through. I know what some are going through in our fellowship. And things are not always easy, are they? Let's take comfort in Abraham's testimony. The Lord's not going to let you down. The Lord's never... We had our 75th anniversary, and our theme verse, the Lord is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That was our theme. Why? Because his promises are sure, and he is and can be the anchor of our soul. And so, during your hardest trials, God can give you the grace to make it in that. You can have faith. And then you can have faith till the end, all the way through the end of our lives. Let's bow our heads and hearts in prayer.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church. reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.